Now, I mentioned also last week how that it would be easy, very easy, to say this. I did right. I trusted and I obeyed God, and I did right. And what did it get me? Evil. More problems. Therefore, I'm going to just sit in the corner of this prison cell and just sit here. But as I said last week, Joseph didn't do that. When he was sold to Potiphar, away from his family, all alone, what did he do? He got up and he served God. It's easy to say, I've been hurt, I've been disappointed, I've been by people, I've been failed by my God. And so I'm going to go to the corner, and I'm not going to help at all. But again, that's not what Joseph did. He got up in the worst of circumstances, in an Egyptian prison, in shackles, by the way. I emphasize, the book of Psalms talks about this, and I think it's Psalm 105. In Psalm 105, turn there just real quickly with me. I think that's the psalm. In Psalm 105, verse 18, speaking of Joseph, verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, chains. He was laid in irons. Please understand Joseph's life experience. It was not pleasant in prison. It was not the Holiday Inn. It was not today's even maximum security prison. It was a place of iron and to walls and to mundane, routine, servant, daily trash. But what did Joseph do? He got up and he served God and he took out the trash. Is that how you're treating life, my friend that's been hurt? Are you sitting in a corner, sucking your thumb, saying, woe is me, woe is me, look at my problems, woe is me? Or do you get up and say, I'm going to be a man. Man up! Man up! Get into life again. Throw yourself into serving God. Whether you're in prison, whether you're in shackles, whether you're like Paul in shackles, what did he do? He served God. He didn't sit there and complain. Joseph didn't sit there and complain about his problems, did he? You don't hear one word of Joseph complaining. In spite of, think of his circumstances. He's not sucking his thumb in the corner complaining. He's being a man. And I'm glad we got a lot of young men out there that have the same spirit. And a lot of people. Don't sit in your tears. Or they say something about tears and beer. I don't remember. But don't drink it. Anyway, forget that one. Joseph was truly a man in formation of being more greatly used by God. But he didn't know it. Joseph didn't understand this. He didn't know the end of the story like I do. Well, let's go back to Genesis. And this is before even the message. So you'll get the message, but I must admit it'll be obviously much abbreviated. I hope. You hope. And so Joseph's put into prison. And in his circumstances, he's serving other people. And in Genesis chapter chapter 39, the Lord was with him in prison, and whatever he did, Joseph prospered. Chapter 40, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the big dude. The big dude of the country. You don't offend the big dude, the country, of that nation. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them so that they were in custody for a while. But the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw they were sad. I'm going to tell you something. Sadness is written all over the face of people's faces. A sad heart, when people are brokenhearted, you can see it, right? Now, you can either genuinely ask, how can I help you? Or you can ignore that person's heart and walk away. It takes involvement, doesn't it, to stop and listen to the brokenhearted. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes whatever you have. It does. And Joseph, there's a quality about Joseph that we all need, and that is to be kind, to be considerate of people who have broken hearts, and to stop and to listen. And Joseph had that quality. He was over these people to take care of them, and he wanted to help them. And he stopped and he asked them, why is your face so sad? Look at it with me. He says in verse 6, he saw that they were sad, so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations of dreams belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said, behold, in my dream a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches in this one vine branch. There were three branches coming off of this vine. And it was as though it budded, and the blossom shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes, I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me, verse 14. Please remember me. When it is well with you, please remember me. Please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also, in my dream, there were three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head. Yeah, it's somewhat never. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to cut off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. You know, that's what a good preacher does. He just tells it the way it's going to be. Amen? He doesn't pull any punches. He tells people the truth. And he tries to encourage people to get ready for God. And Joseph is a good man of God. He tells it the way it is. And he's going to need that later, courage. He's going to need that courage later. Joseph was courageous. This man was actually far more powerful than Joseph. Did you hear that? He worked in the White House. He was a chief cook or pastry maker for the president. A very important, powerful person. But anyway, let's go on. And verse 20, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Potiphar's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. In other words, he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker. And Joseph, as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. I'll bet when Joseph had hope, you know how many, this is years in prison now. This isn't 30 days. This isn't 60 days. This isn't 90 days. This is years that he's been in prison. The butler's released. He's restored to his place. And he thought, wow, Joseph thought, there's hope. But his hope's dashed. Once again, you ever had that from the doctor? And they give you hope. And your hopes are dashed. Disappointment. Deep disappointment. Joseph, this is a real story, my friends, of real life. And so Joseph, I'm sure, was disappointed. Verse 41, chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 years. Was this 2 years later? After the butler was released? 2 years later? He's just doing his chores in jail as normal. Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river, and suddenly there came up out of the river 7 Chick-fil-A cows, saying, "Eat more chicken." No, that's not the dream. That's another dream. That's not this dream. 7 fat cows, fine looking, fat, and they in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt. Death warmed over, anorexic looking, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking fat cows. They didn't get any fatter, these gaunt cows. So Pharaoh awoke, he slept. He fell asleep again and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump, good. Can you see big, full ears, Joe McCutcheon? Full ears of corn. And then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted, burned by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump, full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he said, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then out of nowhere, the chief butler remembered and spoke to Pharaoh, "I remember my fault." So stupid. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, We each had a dream in one night, and he and I and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And now there was a young Hebrew man there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hung my friend, the baker. I know, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved. He was a Bedouin. He had a beard. Like some of you straggly looking people out there. But the Egyptians were clean shaven people. They were very clean shaven. All right? Not the Hebrews. But he shaves, gets a shower, and he's quickly brought out of the dungeon, shaved, changed clothes, came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream. There is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not me, Pharaoh, it's God. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." You know how many times I've said that in my life? You know how many times I've said to people, and how many times I've prayed to God, "I'm not sufficient. I can't help you. But God can. God can help you." And I'm going to be honest with you. When you lose a loved one, I can be there as a voice, but only God can comfort you. I can be there at the hospital bed, but only God can lift you up off that hospital bed. Only God can do the things that you need. Please hear that. Only God can do the things that you need. Not a man, but God can work in the hearts of people. If the heart of the President of this United States is in the Lord's hands, and He turns it wherever He wants it to go, He can turn the hearts of the people that you need favor from. Will you look to God as the answer to your need? Only God can move President Obama's heart. You can criticize him till you're blue in the face. But there's one who can change his heart. And there's only one in the universe. And that's God. And sometimes instead of talking about our president, you need to talk to God about our president. And you need to ask him to change the heart of the king. Anyway. "Only God can, Pharaoh, give you the interpretation of your dream," he said. "It's not within me." Verse 17, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Behold, in my dream I stood in the bank,'" and he repeats the dream to him. The 7 Chick-fil-A cows and then the 7 skinny, gaunt, anorexic cows. And they were just as ugly as they were at the beginning. They ate them up. And then the same with the corn or wheat or whatever it was. Verse 25, "Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, 'The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one, and the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is one thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh," hear me, "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them, 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to you, Pharaoh, twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will bring this shortly to pass. And that leads me to your handout. All that to get to your handout. And if you'll take note of the board quickly. Have you ever experienced, perceived an escape from a near-death experience? And you exclaimed, isn't God good? Isn't God good? We've all done that. But have you ever asked yourself, what if my spouse or my child hadn't survived the cancer? Or I hadn't found another job and it's been 2 years and I've been denied unemployment and I've lost my house? By the way, that happened to someone in our extended church family just recently. And they lost their house, a couple. We lost a big game in the States. Would I have reached a different verdict that God is maybe not always good? Would God still be good? Would we still be praising the Lord God? Is God only good when the outcome is good? It's more than an academic question. Because sometimes, isn't it? This is reality. Sometimes the outcome does not seem good to us. Is God still good? Are we still on the mountaintop when we're denied unemployment? Listen, I one of the greatest, I don't understand sometimes. I'll get to that. What did Joseph believe about God? And I want you to get these points. First, he believed that God is always good. God is always good. God was good when he gave him his dream of exaltation. He told everybody about that. And God didn't change one iota when he was in shackles. God was still good. He knew that God was always good. God was always God. Genesis 41, 25 and 32, the thing established by God, the thing is established by God, and God will surely or shortly bring this to pass. Now, what was established by God? Tell me, what did God establish that He was going to do? 7 years of what? Prosperity. But the same God declared after that 7 years of famine. Same God. Do you see God that way? He's the same God that was with you before that day in your past. He hadn't changed. He's the same God that was with you when you were wronged by someone. And it cost you greatly. Same God. Both the years of abundance and the years of famine are decreed by the plan of the same God. Secondly, we glean from Joseph's belief about God that in the end, he clearly saw and proclaimed that Satan intended for evil. God would reroute it for good. You say, well, that was his brothers. And I said last week, Satan's fingerprints are all over Joseph's life. Trying to take his faith from him. Trying to bring every obstacle into his life to drain Joseph of any trust in a loving God. His fingerprints were all over, just like Job. Now we saw Satan's fingerprints in Job. We saw Satan's fingerprints in Peter's life. But I'm telling you, we don't see it, but any detective would see Satan's fingerprints all over the life of Joseph. But God was allowing Satan to touch Joseph's life. Because God is the master chess player. Let me tell you something. God has no equal. Good has an opposite. Right has an opposite. But God has no opposite. Satan's opposite might be Michael the archangel, but it's not God. God is the master of your life. And God allows Satan to bring you down. But God, if you'll turn and trust and turn your life to Him, He will lift you up eventually. I think we can glean that from Joseph's trials. And thirdly, this is so important. Like Moses saw that the greatest end to this life was not found in a momentary millisecond of suffering, or an abundance in this life. The end was not abundance. Did you hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Or what Lucado's saying? I'm saying it also because I kind of abbreviate or changed his words. So this is, doesn't matter. The second of your life. How fast is your life compared to eternity? How long is your life compared to eternity? It's a millisecond. Our life is compared to a that goes up into the air like a tea kettle. How long does that mist last? Second? 2 seconds? It's gone. That's your life. That's all it is. And the end of your life, and the end of all your sorrows and trials will end. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, turn there with me quickly. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Just Paul's insight into his life's troubles. And Paul had far more troubles than you and I. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart in the midst of all these troubles. We don't lose heart even though our outward man is dying, perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What I'm trying to say to you, I think Joseph like Moses, saw that his suffering that he was experiencing in his life would end. It will end. Say, well, it hasn't ended yet. Well, and just wait a second. It'll end. And you'll be with the Lord. And you'll see that all the trials of this life is nothing compared to the glory that you're going to experience in heaven. Forever. Forever. And Brother Steve, you'll be jumping up and down. You'll be running, playing golf. And Sister Elvira, you'll see your dear husband. And you'll never part. And the momentary afflictions and trials of this life are over. And will be forever with God. Moses saw that. Moses saw that he could have been the son of Pharaoh and been very wealthy, but chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of this world. You know, so often we want the pleasures of this world. And Moses chose to turn his back on all that and to live for the kingdom. Some of you need to do that. All of us need to do that. And live for the kingdom of God first. Don't worry about the junk. And that's all it is. Paul called it dung. Those nice cars that I drive and you drive, it's all cow manure. To live for cow manure? Or like the dream, this guy got to heaven and he was dragging this big sack of gold and he didn't want to leave without his wealth, and Peter met him at the door and started laughing. He says, "You brought more pavement?" Think about it. And I think Joseph saw that his affliction was for a moment, but it's going to be better. And he persevered through it all. And the statement, "You'll get through this," is true. And we know, and next week we'll look at, I mean it's wonderful. The pictures. Joseph's exchanges his striped prison suit for Pharaoh said, "Call my tailor. Tailor, make this man a new Jones, New York suit. Put it on him. And take off that chain, that neck fetter. Put on a golden chain, 24 carats. Nothing but the best for this man. And get my chariot out. And put Joseph on the chariot. Ride him through town. And declare, this is what the second man of Egypt looks like." And the people bowed down. He went from the prison, from the pit, from the prison, to be the prince. Wow. That's crazy. It is crazy. I want you to know, it's crazy. But I want you to know, God has a crazy sense of humor. And that's what He does for every person He saves. He lifts them out of a horrible pit, and He sets them on thrones. And that's what God does for His child. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Because until you do, you'll never know. You will not know that you'll get through this if Christ is not your Lord and Savior.
you'll never know. And you'll remain maybe in your pit and in your prison till you give yourself to obey Jesus. Because He'll lift up the humble who will turn to Christ. And He'll lift them up. It won't be right away. It takes time, but He will. Let's pray. Lord, have mercy on us. The clock. Teach us, though, Lord, these lessons are so important to us. We need them because, Lord, You are good. Even when life isn't, You're still good. Remind us to see things through the perspective of heaven. To see our trials through the perspective of the eternal life that we have. And not through the peephole in the fence. Please, God, help us to see with eyes of faith. In Jesus' name.